1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto," and here's sort of our jumping off point, "unfeigned love," or sincere love, "of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently," or deeply. And so we have to ask ourselves as we're examining this passage of Scripture, what does it mean biblically, not just what Peter says, but what does it mean biblically to love sincerely and to love deeply? Well, let's go to him in prayer and ask his blessings on the message this morning. And as we did in the 10 o'clock hour, I want to begin our prayer this morning by turning to the Word of God and seeing what God says in His Word about His Word and making that in the form of prayer. In Psalm 119 in verse 89, the psalmist says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants. Unless Thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget Thy precepts, for with them Thou hast quickened me." Father, we thank You for bringing us to life through Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is forever settled in heaven. We thank You that Your Word is secure and that it is firm and that it is true, that it is without error, that it is sufficient for everything that pertains to life and godliness. And God, as we turn to Your Word today and we examine what it means to be a loving people, God, we pray that what will be proclaimed today will change our hearts, God, that it will inform our minds, and that it will provide for us the truth of Your Word as we leave this place and as we interact with each other. Lord, as we interact with each other in this church, that the world will see this as a testimony and as a witness. We know that You have said that they will know that we are Christians by our love. God, help us to learn more of what that means. Help us to learn to love each other more. Help us to apply that as we leave this place Monday through Friday. Lord, not just here as we sit under the teaching of Your Word, but Monday through Friday as we live this out in our daily lives. Help us to be a loving people, not according to the world's understanding of love, but according to Your truth and what it implores us to do. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. So Peter implores us to have love for each other. And then as we turn to 1 Corinthians 13, last week we looked at the very first part of that passage, that love suffereth long, or to put it in our terms, love is patient. We're not going to go back through that today. If you didn't catch it last week, it's already been posted to the website. You can go back and listen to that if you desire. But Paul continues, and he goes on to say that love is kind. Love is kind. He says that love envieth not, that love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. That there's apparently no pride in biblical love. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. And then he goes on to say that love never fails. And so just to help us again, we mentioned this last week, to get a true understanding of what Paul is doing here. Paul is confronting a church that has the prophecy of tongues, the prophecy of the gift of knowledge, the gift of tongues, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of prophecy. And with that, they are satisfied. And Paul confronts them and says, that's not enough. He says those things are going to pass away, but what is going to remain forever is love. And apparently, they were lacking in this area of love. And he said, when the perfect comes, and my conviction on that is, there are some people that teach that that's the completion of Scripture. That's okay if that's your position. That's not my position. My position on that, when Paul says, when the perfect has come, we will know fully, is the revelation of Jesus Christ at the end of this age. That's my conviction, because he says we'll see him face to face. But they were lacking. They were lacking in this area of love. You know, Paul goes on to say that you can have all this stuff, And if you don't have love, you're just making noise. And not just noise, an irritating noise. A tinkling brass, a sounding cymbal. And so we don't want to be like this early Corinthian church was. We want to get this thing of love right. And today we're going to look at this issue of kindness. What does it mean to be kind? And if we've got time, I doubt we will. We'll get into the next one about envy. But I want to start by saying this. The world doesn't always get it right. Maybe I should say the world rarely gets it right. They view the church, when we think of this thing of loving kindness, they view the church as sort of a charitable organization. I don't want that to be our primary view of the church. Now, when you go through the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke is perhaps the most compassionate book in all of Scripture. It shows the compassion that our Lord had for those that weren't the elite of society, if we can put it that way. It shows the compassion and love and the loving kindness that our Lord had for the downtrodden. It shows His compassion and His loving kindness for those that didn't have it quite as good as perhaps you and I had it. The Word of God is replete with that. All throughout the Word of God, we see the compassion of God, but we need to understand that compassion and that kindness in a biblical way. I think we mentioned in the first hour that you have to have truth and love go hand in hand. Those two are never separated with God. If you have truth with no love, as Paul has just said, you're just making noise. If you have love with no truth, that's just the world's vision and view of sentimentality is all that is, with no biblical benefit to it. So they view the church primarily, this is the world, as sort of this religious soup kitchen. The world is there to meet the needs of those that are displaced or those that are as we would say, down on their luck. They view the church primarily as a quick fix for maybe their financial problems. Guys, I see this more than you realize. I made the mistake of having Jackie make this sign and put it up on the outside of the church, and it's got my phone number on it. That's not a mistake. It is an opportunity to minister. It is an opportunity to show the compassion of Christ to people. It's also an opportunity to share truth with them. And I strive to do that. Every time I get that telephone call that says, we just got to have $100 to get us, you know, it's an emergency. It's been building for 10 years because of poor stewardship. But now it's an emergency and we've got to have... So who do they reach out to? They reach out to the church. Well, what an opportunity that is to share the truth and to let them know why they're in the situation that they're in is because more than likely there's a lot of different reasons why they might be in the situation that they're in. I'll be kind with that. I came across this statement this week from Cletus Titus. Cletus was with us several months ago, the missionary representative from Baptist Mid-Missions. It says, if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will become your downfall. I kind of like that. That's the way people get themselves in a bad spot, and then they turn to the church because they know the church is a place for kindness. They might not realize it's a place for accountability as well. Here's where the world gets it wrong. The qualifier primarily. Because as a church, our primary purpose is none of these. We went over this in the 10 o'clock hour. I hope you get it right this hour. What's the primary purpose of the church? To glorify God. To bring glory to God. Some people think the primary purpose of the church is evangelism. Some people think the primary purpose of the church is discipleship. Some people think that the primary purpose of the church is missions. The local church exists to bring glory to God. How do we do that? Through evangelism, through missions, through discipleship, through all of those things. And guys, this isn't new. When God created Adam and Eve, He created Adam and Eve to bring glory to Him. When God brought about Noah, He brought about Noah to bring glory to Him. When He called Abraham out of the earth, He did that to bring glory to Him. When He called Moses, when He set Israel aside, He did that to bring glory to God by being obedient to His words, His commands, His precepts, just like we prayed from Psalm 119 this morning. So the world doesn't get it completely wrong. They see the church, they see believers as a place where they can find kindness. And that's right. They should be able to find kindness with us. But they should be able to find kindness in concert with the gospel. They should find kindness in concert with the truth. So as we get into this understanding of kindness today, do not separate our loving kindness for each other and our loving kindness for those that we come in contact with. Do not separate that from the gospel. I just kind of want to make that clear from the start. That's how we bring glory to God as a church, by being obedient to His commands, but doing it for His purposes. We don't exercise kindness so we can lay our head on the pillow at night and rest easy, knowing that we have done a good deed for the day. Now, when we've exercised biblical kindness, we should be able to lay our head on a pillow at night and get a good night's rest because we've done a good deed for the day. But that's not the motivator. The motivator is to bring glory to God by being the kind of person He wants us to be and exercising the love that He gives us to exercise in 1 Corinthians 13. That's why we express the love of God in light of Peter's teaching in chapter 1, verse 22. That's why we express the love of God in light of Galatians chapter 5, because it is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of these things that we see in 1 Corinthians 13. That's why we express the love of God in 1 Corinthians 13. So let's dig a little deeper at what Paul says about love being kind. Love being kind. So what does it mean that love is manifested in the way that we treat others? So there's always these two relationships that are in play. There's always that vertical relationship. We love God. We love God, certainly. That's the vertical relationship. The relationships, so many of them that Paul speaks of here, are these horizontal relationships that we have with each other. That's just a way of saying the people that we come in contact with. And remember, when Paul writes this, he is writing this to the church. So this is first and foremost for the church, for each other, to display love for each other so the world sees that as a witness. This isn't first. Start all the soup kitchens you want to start. I'll make a donation to it. This is not what that's talking about. This is talking about the love that everyone in the local church has for one another, and he says that love should express itself in kindness. How is that manifested today? Well, first of all, a good definition. Kindness means to show oneself what? Kind. That's deep, isn't it? Well, what does that mean, though? Well, one aspect of that is mildness. Mildness. Now, we're not going to get this far today, but if you'll recall from the reading this morning, as Paul gets deeper into this, there are some aspects that he says love is not, that helps you realize that how important this mildness part of this is, especially when he gets to the part about how love doesn't boast, love doesn't brag, love doesn't puff itself up. That's not a mild person that does that. That's typically an arrogant person, an over-the-top kind of person. So love is mild. Well, that's tough for some of us, because we look at mildness as, we equate mildness with what? Weakness. Weakness. You know what the Sermon on the Mount says, the meek shall inherit the earth? That's not, what's the old definition for that, for meekness? Power under control or something like that? I mean, if God says it's a good thing to be meek, God, teach me what it means to be meek. Teach me what it means to be mild. Teach me what it means to be kind. It means to use kindness. That's going to be important in just a minute. It means to act benevolently, kindly, with benevolence. Act with benevolence. And guys, here's the important part. I think this might be in your bulletin. This is the important part. So love is manifested by the way that we treat others. Your first fill in the blank. And then kindness is not just a character trait. Kindness is a behavior. That implies there's some action behind it. That implies that it's a verb. That implies it's not a noun. It's not just a thing. It is something that we do. Kindness has to have some action behind it. It is not just a character trait. You can't say that it is in my character to be kind if you never manifest that kindness towards one another. So maybe that's the first practical application or self-examination we look at today. Like, what did you do this past Thursday that was an act of kindness for someone? Now don't shout it out loud, but are you having to think about it? I tell you something that blessed my heart this week. I meant to bring this up as a praise in the 10 o'clock hour. Our daughter's best friend is a wonderful young lady. Her husband, we've prayed for them in this church before. Her husband is leaving tomorrow for his fourth tour in Afghanistan. He's an E-9. That's as high as it gets on the enlisted side. He's in Colorado today. He's been in Colorado for about a week, leaving for Afghanistan tomorrow. This is what kindness looks like. We try to be a witness to her and to him. They've got a little 8-month-old precious little daughter, and they've got a dog that's the size of a horse. So on Friday, she decides, or had it planned, to go visit her mom who lives in Hickory. They're in Fayetteville, down at Fort Bragg. She's going to visit her mom that lives in Hickory as her husband is leaving for Afghanistan, spend some time with her mom. She has a car that has the electronic key fob like so many of us have. You know, once you start that car, you can go to California in it without the key. Well, that's pretty close to what she did. She goes to pick up the baby. She's got that, looks like a horse in the car. She goes to pick up the baby, the 8-month-old, and she heads towards Hickory from Fayetteville. She gets to Greensboro, gets out to attend to the baby, turns the car off, at that point realizes she's left her key in Fayetteville. Had something to do with that dog. She had the dog in the car, it was running the air conditioner, that kind of thing. She got out, get the baby, left the key behind. Unbeknownst to her, our daughter was also coming to Greensboro that night, was about 15 minutes away. And we were on the phone trying to figure out what to do, how to get her a key. I was calling the dealership and all of this. But long story short, our daughter was coming to visit her grandfather. She finds out about this drama that's going on in her best friend's life. And for the next 4 hours, she spends the evening with her in the parking lot, waiting for someone in Fayetteville to go by the house, get the key, and bring the key to Greensboro. Now there's two acts of loving kindness there. The part of my daughter that gave up 4 hours of being with her dying grandfather so she could be with this young mother and her baby, and you can imagine how distraught of a thing that is. And then the young man in Fayetteville that was willing to take probably what ended up being 4 or 5 hours out of his night to go pick up that key and drive it up to Greensboro so she could have that key and continue on her journey. I say all that to say this. Kindness isn't a character trait. Kindness is something we do. Kindness is something we exercise. Kindness is putting that character that God gives us through His Holy Spirit and through the knowledge of His Word into practical action in our daily lives. So let me ask you again, what did you do Thursday that was an act of kindness that exemplified the love of Christ in your life for someone? Maybe I ask you a better question. What are you going to do tomorrow? Now that maybe there's a little bit of conviction taking place from His Word, what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to look for tomorrow? Not just wait for it to come across your path. What are you going to look for tomorrow within our... So who this week is going to ask themselves, what does James Todd need this week? Where I can express an act of kindness to him and take 30 minutes out of my day to stop by and see someone that has no opportunity to get out there on their own anymore and be a blessing to him. What does anyone else in our church need that's in that situation that perhaps they can't do as they used to do? Think of Magdalene. What can I do this week to show the loving kindness that Christ has put in my heart? As a comfort to me, knowing that I'm one of Him, because it's an act of obedience. And we learned last year that if you need assurances of your salvation, are you being obedient to the Word of God? Do you pass the test of obedience? Do you pass the test of truth? Do you pass the test of love? All three of these wrapped up. What can I do tomorrow? What can I do this week that expresses the love of Christ living through me? Are you practicing biblical kindness within the ministry of the church? There's a simple test for this. Let me hit home. We have a benevolence fund in this church that was started by someone almost 2 years ago now that gave us the seed money for this, if you want to call it that, that many of you have been able to take advantage, or some of you, I should say, have been able to take advantage of. When we've been able as a church to help other people within the church, please understand that for the most part, that comes from the benevolence fund. So there's a need in your life for something, and as a church, we've been able to meet that need. We don't publicize who started that. As far as I know, I don't know that anybody in the church knows who did that. We don't publicize it when you give to the benevolence fund. We don't let anybody know when you receive something from the benevolence fund. That's usually at the very most between Dick and I, at the very most. Because that's sort of the meaning of that. When's the last time you contributed to that? When's the last time that maybe you approached Rod and said, Rod, I'm kind of interested in this benevolence fund because God has blessed me. And if you're here today, you've been blessed of God. When's the last time you took advantage of that to show loving kindness? That is love rolling up its sleeves and doing something actively to express the kindness of God in someone else's life. When's the last time maybe you just slipped a $20 bill to someone that could use it? To maybe a missionary that was passing through? Don't always count on the church. It's a wonderful blessing for this church. It blesses my heart when a Nathan Frey comes through and we can give him $300 or $400 that he can use in his ministry. Or when a Chuck Kemp comes through and speaks, or Dave Morris comes through and presents the Word of God to us, we can be a financial blessing to him. Don't completely rely on the church for that. We'll take care of their needs as a church. That's an opportunity for you to express loving kindness. It could be a $10 bill. When's the last time that you provided a meal or a service for someone in the church? It blesses my heart to see what some people in this church do for other people in this church when they have a need in their lives. I rejoice in that. And you guys do that on a regular basis. Let me challenge you to continue to do that. That's expressing this loving kindness. So you say that I'm a kind person, but if you haven't done these things, maybe you're just a nice person. And there's a difference. There's a difference. The world's definition of this, without any action to it, would be, you're just a nice guy. That's a compliment. That's not biblical. I mean, it's biblical to be nice, don't get me wrong. But in order for us to say that we express loving kindness, we've got to put action behind that. We've got to do what God's Word says about that. He goes on to say in Romans 12, this is Paul speaking again, adding some further information to this understanding. Be kindly, there's that word, same root word, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, the overall umbrella of 1 Corinthians 13, brotherly love, love for each other within the church, in honor, preferring one another. Hold on to that word honor a minute. Mike, hold on to that word honor. You can nudge Jackie with your elbow when we get to this part. Literally, outdoing one another in respect is what Paul says. Outdoing one another in kindness and respect for each other. You'll notice something about these words. They look like adjectives in English, but in the original form, they're actually verbs. Paul's emphasis is not on what love is as much as it is on what love does. Now, guys, we could bring this into a husband-wife seminar at some point. It's not enough in those wedding vows to say, I love you for the rest of my life. What does that mean? What does that mean that you're going to do? That's what Paul's saying here. When he says love is kind, he's not saying it looks like something. He is saying it does something. Sometimes I shouldn't think this way. You want to shake somebody up? The next time somebody comes up to you and says, now I would recommend you doing this with the grandbabies, not your husband or wife. Just do it with your husband and wife. Maybe I need to do some counseling. When somebody comes up to you and says, I love you, look at them and say, how? How? How do you love me? what is it that you're doing to express your love to me? Kind of put them on the spot. I think I probably shouldn't think that way sometimes. How is it that we're expressing that love? And then Paul, in this passage, we don't see this in 1 Corinthians 13, but we see it in this passage. He uses the word honor, literally preferring one over yourself, preferring one another, outdoing one another in respect. We don't see that word honor very often. Sometimes you see it in the wedding vows. I think it was in our wedding vows, to love and to honor and to cherish. The wedding vows have changed down through the years. To love, honor, and obey. We hear it in the military, that there is a code of honor in the military. We most often, at least some of us, most often hear it on the golf course. Usually, when Mike and I are playing golf, you'll look at Mike and say, it's your honor. And what you're doing is you're showing a sign of respect because he outdid you on the last hole. And that's where that word comes from in golf. It's your honor. If Mike shot a 4 on the last hole and I shot a 5, low scoring golf wins, then we get to the next hole, Mike, it's your honor. Now, I say 4 and 5. I say that liberally, Troy. It'd be more like if I shot a 9 and Mike shot an 8. I say, Mike, it's your honor. It's a show of respect. It's a show of giving to another. So Paul describes it in those terms. He describes it in terms of kindness. He describes it in terms of honor. He describes it in terms of showing respect. But in each of these, it is not just a characteristic or a trait that's in you. It's something that comes out of you, because the Holy Spirit is working through God's Word to make you a person of loving kindness. Well, what does it look like in the church? Well, Galatians 5:22, we mentioned this. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. It's included there. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul says, be kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. 1 Corinthians 5:14, we urge you, brothers, to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient, something we looked at last week, with everyone. We see in Colossians 3, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, that's a heart of mercy, and kindness. And in paralleling what he continues to say in chapter 13, humbleness of mind, that puffed upness, put that away. Paul loves that put on, put off concept. Paul knows that we are people that aren't kind. Paul knows that we are people that are self-centered and bitter. And in Ephesians chapter 4, one of my favorite passages in all of the Word of God, he gives us hope. He gives us hope because he says, I know when you came into the kingdom that you were an unkind person. How does he say that we do that? He says, we put off the old man, what we used to be before we were saved. I want you to understand this. Please understand this. Were the Ten Commandments given to Israel before or after God, be careful, before or after God redeemed them and called them out to be his people? Let me give you the answer to that. He gave them the Ten Commandments after he called them out and redeemed them to be his people. God didn't expect behavior modification, and then you get yourself worked up to a point to where you're this loving and kind person, and now you can come into the kingdom. Let's face it, we come into the kingdom and we bring some baggage with us. And it's not going to go away in 3 months because you've attended church for 12 Sundays without missing. I've been in the kingdom of God for 50 years. You want to take a look at my baggage that I deal with every day? The attitudes that I have towards people because of the way they look? Because of the baggage that I've brought into this thing of redemption? But Paul says there's hope. He says there's hope in Ephesians 4, that although you're not a kind person, through renewing your mind, which means you're studying 1 Corinthians 13 with us in church, and you're depending upon the Holy Spirit to change you, you can become this loving and kind person. Like, you remember what we said about taking the word love out, plugging the name Jesus in? Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not envious. Jesus is not proud. And then we said, I think I put that in your bulletin. And then to complete that exercise, Take out the name of Jesus' name and put your name in there and use that as an examination. And then that takes us back to Ephesians 4, where he says, okay, so when I plug that my name beside of kindness, that doesn't really ring true. Paul says there's hope. Study his word, renew your mind, depend on the Holy Spirit, become obedient to his word, and become the kind of kind person that you need to be, not through some kind of behavior modification, but because tomorrow you're going to do something kind for Mr. Todd. That's how this works. This isn't some kind of osmosis that just takes place and you're just mystically changed into this kind person. You become this kind person as you become obedient to the Word of God and do what the Word of God says needs to be done to express the loving kindness of Jesus Christ in other people's lives, particularly in the church. That's what Paul is saying here. Here's sort of a job description for me when I'm in this pulpit. Describe, explain, illustrate, and apply. If I can do that with the Word of God, I've fulfilled my task while standing in this pulpit. So in kindness, I'm going to help you apply today. When's the last time you practiced true loving kindness and benevolence like Christ has shown you? You know, we talked about the benevolence program a while ago. Well, you say, well, I just don't have it to give. I can't be obedient to the commands of God. Well, in Luke 21, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury. The rich. So I can be benevolent and loving kind, show loving kindness if I'm rich, apparently. Because that's what they were doing. And he saw a certain widow putting in 2 mites, everything she had. And he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of the others, for they put in out of their abundance. But she put in out of her poverty. That's loving kindness in action. What are you going to do tomorrow? What excuse, Moses, are you going to use that you can't do what God has called you to do? God told Moses to go to Pharaoh. Moses had 5 reasons that he was smarter than God. And he expressed every one of them to God. The last one being, just send somebody else. Just let somebody else be kind to Mr. Todd tomorrow because I can't do it, Moses. God said, Moses, go. Go to Pharaoh. So what excuses do we use? Well, this passage from Luke takes away any of them. Because here is this widow taken in poverty, giving of everything she had so she could bring glory to God with what he had blessed her with. What are you going to do tomorrow to show loving kindness to someone? You've probably never heard me. I don't know if I've done this or not. If I have, please stop me. Using those old cliches that I grew up with that tried to guilt people into doing these kind of things. One of them was, you can't outgive God. How many of you have heard that? Yeah. Okay. All right. I used to hear this one a lot. And this one does make a lot of sense if you believe in tithing. God can do more with 90 cents than you can do with a dollar. Well, God can do more with a penny than you can do with a dollar. God created the universe out of nothing, so yes, he can do that. I'm not going to use those kind of guilt motivators. I'll stick with Scripture. Here's this poor widow that had nothing and gave it all out of her poverty. What's our excuse tomorrow that we're not going to express the, I don't have enough time, God? Or as Moses would say, I can't speak eloquently enough. And God said, I created you. If I want you to speak, I'll make you speak. And Moses said, well, who am I going to tell Pharaoh sent me? Because he's not going to believe that. And you know what God said. Tell him I am. What's going to be your excuse tomorrow that you can't express loving kindness to somebody that you work with? And show the world through that simple testimony the love of Christ among the church, what a true and loving God that we serve. How are you loving like Christ loved by showing loving kindness towards others? Got some questions here I'm going to ask. How are you honoring each other in Christ? Romans 12. How have you not been kind to someone lately? How are you using the things you treasure the most? Now, when I said that, a mental picture popped up in most of your heads, because we all have those things we treasure the most. How are you using the things you treasure the most to express biblical love through kindness and honor? You know, the number one cause of broken relationships in the church, I should put that in the form of a question. Do you know what the number one cause of broken relationships in the church is? Broken relationships in the church mirror, percentage-wise, broken relationships in the world, almost to the percentage point. That is a tragedy. You know what the number one reason for that is? Your inability, or I should not say inability, your unwillingness to show loving kindness by granting forgiveness the way Christ has forgiven you. So maybe that's an area of expressing loving kindness that you're struggling with today. Maybe you have something against another believer within the church or within your own family, and unlike Christ in His loving kindness forgiving you for your sin, you're not willing to forgive that person for their sin because for some reason you have yourself on a higher plane than Christ does. Maybe that's your issue. That's what Paul spoke of that we mentioned just a few moments ago in Ephesians 4. Be kind and tenderhearted to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. That's biblical kindness. That's biblical kindness. So where are you on a scale today of 1 to 10? 7, right? Because everybody's at a 7 for everything. Where are you at a scale of 1 to 10 in your kindness? Maybe you have to ask yourself, who is it that I'm holding a grudge against because I'm not willing to forgive? Who is it that I haven't talked to in weeks or months or years because I can't be like Christ and forgive that person because I view myself on a higher plane than Christ? Who is it you have animosity toward? Who do you need to call today and make things right? Who are you modeling the kindness of Christ to? How are you using what God has blessed you with? Let me ask that in a more literal way. How are you going to use tomorrow what Christ has blessed you with today to show loving kindness to someone else as an example of the love of Christ to a lost and dying world? Alexander Strout is a favorite writer of mine. He says, kindness is a readiness to do good, to help, to relieve burdens, to be useful, to serve, to be tender, to be sympathetic to others. It has been said that kindness is love in work clothes. I like that. I like that last part. Kindness is love in work clothes. Peter says, seeing that you've purified your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned sincere love, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently and deeply. How are you manifesting the love of God in your life today? How are you going to manifest the love of God in your life and in the life of someone else tomorrow? Let's go to Him in prayer. Dick, if you'll come and prepare us to close in song, we'll turn to Amazing Grace and sing the first and last. But right now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word today. God, we thank You that as we read in the psalm, it is eternal. We thank You that it is beneficial for us when we're obedient to it. God, in this area of love, help us to be obedient. God, help us to not allow any obstacle, whether it's a relationship issue, whether it's a perceived lack of resources issue, a, a perceived too busy with my time issue. Help us not to allow any obstacle to come into our lives that would keep us from expressing loving kindness to other people. God, help us to roll up our sleeves and put our kindness into action. Help us not to be content with just saying, I'm a kind person. God, help us to show that kindness to others. Help us to begin today. Help us to look for things that we can do this week as a church that shows each other in this family that we call the church that we truly love one another. God, help us to be need detectors. Help us to look around our congregation. Help us not to just sit back and wait for it to come to us. But God, help us to reach out to people and see what the needs are in their lives. And God, perhaps there's a person here today that's thinking to themselves, I'm that needy person. God, work in their heart and show them where they can be a blessing to others by serving as well. Help us to never have that, or that victim mentality that I'm the one that needs to be served. But God, help us to look through our church at ways that we can show this loving kindness to others. And God, we can only do this through Jesus Christ. And God, we pray that if there's one here today that doesn't know the joy of being able to express love because they don't know the joy of your salvation. Father, we pray that they will see the sin in their life, that they will see they're apart from you, that they will see that Jesus Christ is the only way they can be reconciled to you. If you're here today and you're in that situation, we pray that you would see us as soon as this service is over, that we may take the word of God and show you what it means to be redeemed so you can love like Christ would have you love, like Christ loved. In his precious name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Let's be dismissed in song. Let's stand and sing hymn number 202, Amazing Grace.